continue welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we also say it sincerely, that it's just good to get together and not only enjoy friendship and fellowship, but involve ourselves as a congregation in worship and praise to our Heavenly Father. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning, so I kind of asked my brother to look around, make sure one has one that would like one. And also the lesson this morning is from the text that was read to us. So you're welcome to follow along by the outline or just open your Bible to Psalm 51 and we'll be going through that pretty much verse by verse. So however, whichever way you'd like to follow along would be just fine. I've titled the lesson, The Christian's Cleansing, or God's Forgiveness Plan for His Children. You know, to become, I need to say this, usually we give the plan of salvation or the steps to heaven or that formula or that recipe of forgiveness at the end of a lesson, but let me say it at the beginning here, if you're not a Christian, meaning you've not been born again into God's family, you have not been baptized for remission of sins. Here are the steps, or the plan, the formula, if you will, the recipe. First of all, you need to hear the Word of God. You need to know what it's about. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can they believe in Him whom they've not heard? So you need to hear God's Word. Second, then you need to believe it. Believe it. Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. You need to believe the biblical message. Jesus also said in Luke 13, verse 3, a third step, or part of that formula, that recipe, He says, except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. So to avoid that perishing, or dying in our sins, the steps of that formula involve hearing God's Word, believing it, and then repenting of our sins. Number four would be you need to confess your faith that you in what you believe. That being you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And that's what Philip was asking the Ethiopian. He said, here's water, what anything hindering me from being baptized? So if you believe, you may. In Acts 8. And so at the closing of the verses, he mentions, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, the eunuch. And Philip baptized him, and they came up out of the water. And Philip was caught away, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. So you think about, what do I need to do to become a Christian? These steps, this is part of the recipe, the plan, the formula. Hear the Word of God, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake. Did we make mistakes before we became a Christian? We'll make mistakes being a Christian. And all of us can attest to that. And so that's what our lesson is now. What, now that I'm a Christian and I've fumbled or I've faltered, what do I need to do? So we're going to take the illustration from Psalm 51. Kind of a physical illustration. I put this in your notes. You know, after we do some work and we get a little dirty and sweaty, I've even heard other people say that I've worked, well, I can't wait to get to the showers. I can't wait to get cleaned up. Oh, I feel so grubby or gritty and think something along that same line. Man, I even smell bad. And so I need some strong soap to get this body clean. But then people say, after they come out of the shower, oh, that feels a lot better. Well, on the spiritual side, you know, there's a clean feeling that's even sweeter. And that's knowing that God's forgiven us and given us a clean heart, as the verses say. So we need to see what we need to do to have our sin cleansed by God after we become a Christian, now that we're a child of God. Dennis mentioned in the introduction to his reading the Old Testament story of David. And this is David's psalm of repentance. He is sorry for what he's done. And this parallels the action that we need to take when we've committed sins against God after we become a Christian. In 2 Samuel 11, verse 3, the story is told. David commits adultery with Bathsheba, and she conceives a child. In 2 Samuel 11, verses 14 through 17, David commits murder by having Uriah sit to the front of the battle. And Uriah is killed in battle. Because of that, God sends Nathan to David with a story. And after hearing the story, Nathan tells him, David, you're the man in that story. And the words of Nathan convince David of his sin. David confesses his sin to Nathan. So I have sinned. He repents. He's forgiven. However, the child does die. After the child is born, he becomes sick and dies. In verse 13 of 2 Samuel 12, David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. And he also tells David that you're not going to die physically, right now anyway, because of this. As Christians, having been born again, we'll make a commit a fault. We won't always do everything correctly, say everything rightly. So now the path of forgiveness back to God, similar to David, is to confess and repent and pray. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow works repentance. That's what happened to David. Oh, what have I done? I'm sorry. I confess. I've sinned. I've messed it up. And a praise. God, forgive me. So let's see how it's done. I put in three main things in your notes. First of all, David acknowledges his sin. Then he asks for cleansing. And then, as David did, he announces his restoration. Once that is taking place, I'm going to sing God's praises for God's goodness and mercy. So number one, in general, let's talk about that, David acknowledging his sin. You can just kind of notice, especially if you have your Bibles open, I just put a couple of the verses in there, but David mentions his sin at least five times in verses 1 through 6. He uses different words. In verse 2, he speaks of his iniquity. He says, my sin. In verse 3, he says, my transgression. My sin. In verse 4, he says, I have sinned. So the first thing that David does in this psalm of repentance, he's telling God, this is what I've done. What I want to do, I want to acknowledge my sin. So he begins in verse 1, have mercy. Because there's no way that David can find cleansing for himself. He needs to find it from God. I need mercy. I'm sin filthy. So God, I acknowledge that. Give me mercy. In other words, David says, God, in the situation I'm in, I need pity from you. God, I need reconciliation from you. God, I need you to render aid. I need your compassion. In verse 1, mercy. I acknowledge my sin. I need cleansing. I need more than soap and water. Number 2, in verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He didn't say, wash me from my iniquity. I need a cleansing. transgressed his law. I know there's other verses and stories when we step on somebody else's toes, we need to say, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. But don't forget to go to God, and that's where we, you and I need to go first when we transgress his law. Ultimately, all sin, every transgression, every iniquity is against God. God, I didn't measure up to your standard. God, I'm sorry. I acknowledge that. I regret it. Acknowledgement. He says in verses 5 and 6, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. Because I know what I did. I need to keep my heart right with God. So I admit the sin. God, I'm coming to you. I didn't mean to do it, I did it though. But truth must, in the last phrase of verse 6, truth must be in me to know wisdom. And if I admit what I've done, come to that realization, I'm going to come to God, God's way. And Solomon said in Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you're inside, your heart is not right with God, you're not going to make this kind of acknowledgement. David, you can hear David's groaning in this psalm of repentance. You can see him pouring it out to God. My sin is ever before me. God, even after God forgives them, David is still going to have to live with that memory. That's right. But David knows that God will forgive, and we're going to note some other words now that he's asking God to forgive. Note what God does. So now he's asking for cleansing. I told you what I've done, God. Now here it is. And now at least eight times David asks for some specific cleansing. In verse 7, if you know in the Bible, purge me, wash me. In verse 9, hide thy face, blot out my iniquities. In verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. In verse 11, cast me not away. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Why? You see, this, what David has done has hurt him. Has hurt God. He says, I can't live with it. I need to make it right. God, cleanse me. Get rid of this in my life, the way that I feel. Purge me with hyssop, number 1 in verse 7. Purge me. Wash me. God, get the stain out. Get the stain. I'll confess you, I've done some laundry. And there have been times, I didn't pre-wash or pre-treat a stain. It doesn't bother me, but it bothers Christine. I wash that garment, oh, there's a stain there. A solid color shirt, and there's that grease spot. Oh man, I'm not going to throw that shirt away. So I get my Sharpie out and mark a little picture and draw a picture of it. I wear the shirt. People say, nice shirt, but that shirt's a horrible looking picture. But every time I look down, I see, oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember when I spilled that grease. I need a cleansing. I need to get it all out. That's what David is asking. God, that's right. Help me out. Put some remover on that. And David is saying, God, you can treat me better than oxygen. You can treat me better than new and improved Tide. You can purge and wash me whiter than snow. Wow. I believe that. I believe that. That's what draws me to God. That promise right there. If I ask, I acknowledge my sin and ask, God, I know what you can do. You told me. How can you refuse something like that? I'm sorry. I repent. I acknowledge. I pray. Whiter than snow. Then verse 8, I need to hurry along. Verse 8, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. That's healing within. I want my insides to feel good. Not just good on the outside. God, fix my heart. I want to feel good inside and out. A brother may not treat me that way, God, the way you're going to treat me. That's why I always say it shouldn't be so come to God and say, I've sinned. Well, you're not telling him anything he doesn't know already. He said in verse 9, hide your face from my sins. God, I know when, we had that sermon a couple weeks ago, what does God do with our sins? That was one, God hides his face from us. God can't see our sins anymore. He's forgiven them. Blotted them out. They're gone. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. And that's what I want. Even though my sin is ever in front of me, God, give me that clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Can you kind of take that thought away from me? Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Now help me with my memory of what I've done. God, I'm sorry I can't forget what I've done. It's still in front of me. Thank you for forgiving, but help me with my inside. Clean heart. Right spirit. Verse 11, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. See, it's our sins that have separated us. Isaiah 59, verse 2. It's our sins that have hid his face from us. I don't want that separation to continue. So I come back to God. God's way. And then the last one, number 3. Announce your restoration. So now everything's in place. First 2 steps have been taken. My godly sorrow has moved me to repentance. I've acknowledged my sin. God, I know what I've done. And you do too. And now, God, I'm asking you for your forgiveness. Create in me a clean heart. Hide your face. Blot it out from all those good phrases. And now that you've done that, you know what, God? I'm going to tell people what good thing has just happened to me. In verses 12 and 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted to you. In other words, I can't keep the message of God's mercy to myself. I just can't. It's too good. And aren't we usually eager to tell other people what good thing has happened to us? How many people have you told already, Rick, about some of that remodeling you've been doing at your house? You know what I did? I'm an accomplishment. He needs some help too, by the way. But usually a good thing, we go on a trip. Oh, let me tell you what good thing happened. We want to share good things. Why don't we share the joy of our salvation with more people? Verse 14, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Because of God's goodness and God's mercy, I'm going to have a song in my heart. You know, where before I think, oh, I'm walking this way. Oh, I know what I've done. Oh, I feel bad. God forgive me. Oh, it's different now, isn't it? I hope you can walk that way. When God forgives, he forgets all these good things. I'm going to have a song in my heart. I'm not going to limit my singing to the auditorium. I'm going to sing in the shower. I'm going to sing when I'm at work. I'm going to sing when I'm walking. I'm going to sing. My heart's rejoicing inside. Make a joyful noise unto God, the Bible says, all ye lands. Sing forth. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful noise. All we need. Verse 15, it continues. O Lord, open thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. Oh, I can put in your notes, Christianity is a show and tell religion. It's a lips and life religion. It's more than just right here in the assembly. I've known some church buildings in the entryway into the auditorium. They have the sign that says enter to worship. And then on the auditorium side of the back wall, they have exit to serve. And then we had our missionary here last Sunday night, Jack Farber. And then he was adding another one. He mentioned, he had a sign on one church building on leaving the auditorium that says, you are now entering the greatest mission field ever. So now that I've grieved over my sins, I've asked God to forgive me, let me go and tell him. You know what good thing has happened to me? Verses 16 to 17. Thou desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. Well, God wants sacrifice. It's in the next verse. But he doesn't delight in that burnt offering alone. See, because that's an outside show. He wants an inside sacrifice too. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now we get back to the heart of the matter. The issue of the heart. Our actions are determined by attitude, the heart. That's the motivating factor to move us to Christ's likeness. And then in verses 18 and 19, then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. That's worship. Sacrifices of right, Old Testament sacrifices, the means of work getting God worship. And then it says, and then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So we ask God to bless others in the congregation. God, I've taken care of myself. And because I've made corrections and done that which is right, others in the congregation see that and I become an example for them. And they'll say, if Brian can do it, I can too. That's the lesson. What we do will affect others. So this Psalm of Repentance by David is a lesson for us as God's people on how to return to God. The emphasis has been on the action that streams from the heart, from inside. So again, if you're not a member of the Testament Church, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And as we're standing and singing this song, if you have a resolve in your heart to become a Christian, to be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that. Or you want to just respond in a public way and ask brethren for